All right, so we're going to break down the 2024 showcase, spring showcase, and what we saw, what we liked, what we didn't like. And I think the old man and I disagree on what we saw from the game and, you know, what we expected from the game. We were just talking offline about, you know, what our expectations were. I think, you know, on my end, I don't come in looking at this game and expecting to see a full-blown kind of helmet-on-helmet guys going full speed. I'm coming in expecting to see – I'm getting a little echo on your end a little bit. But I don't come in expecting to see, like, a full-blown pass crashing and things of that nature. I was evaluating the pass catching, the running ability, guys crashing – inside the tackles and stuff like that, to see how those guys react. Skill positions, really, not so much. Did we score 30 points or the stats and so much? But I know that you view in a different direction.
Well, I'm not a big fan of the showcases. I used to look forward to some years ago when they actually had a full type game scrimmage. They did have some, you know, restricted jerseys on quarterbacks, but people went after each other. I mean, legitimately, people were going after each other to make a statement that they wanted to be a starter on the football team. I don't think they're even allowed to hit that much physically. It was more stand guys up. And I get that because the players now are in a different space business-wise than they used to be. You're not going to see a safety blast a wide receiver to shake the ball loose. I mean, they're pretty much told now not to do shit like that because you don't want the team or the individual to sustain injuries. It's not the purpose of this thing. The purpose to me, KB, is more of a marketing thing. It's a marketing issue to get the fans back into the game, to start selling tickets, start selling these new seats, and so on. And so I think that's what it is. And how many takeaways did I have from it? Not many. It just seemed like the one takeaway that it did have was it seems like the quarterback, DJU, was under more pressure than I suspected he would be. And that kind of concerned me a little bit of where this offensive line is going to be come the fall. I don't think, and I didn't think it was last year, even though we were 13-0, an elite offensive line. So, you know, for running backs, which our running back room is full of elite athletes, and for our quarterback, who is a very good quarterback, to do what they need to do, they have to be able to depend on that offensive line. And I hope that I'm proven wrong. I really hope that I'm proven wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I, you know, like you said, we see it in different ways. And the biggest way is that the reason you don't go full 11-on-11, you know, 60-minute games is, one, you don't want to give away, you know, this offense.
You're not giving away anything in this. You're not giving anything away.
Well, because of this format, because of this exact format, it was a glorified practice. I mean, it's a public practice, and you're not. And the reason why they don't do a full scrimmage against another team or against, you know, themselves is that you don't want to give away parts of your playbook. You don't want to get guys hurt, like you said, even though you saw guys go off, which, you know, is disappointing. You don't want guys to get hurt, especially with a lower effort type of, a less scrimmage heavy type of practice like this. But like you are right in that it is for marketing. It is to get fans excited about this, bring them into the spring season and get them excited about the new additions to the team and the team as a whole to buy tickets, to sell premium seats and things of that nature. But I do think I do believe that you can take away things from this game. And there was a couple of different things that I did take away from the game. Some of the things I was just sharing on the screen is that, you know, I think we took away who our number one receiver is going to be. You know, Malik Benson is, you know, the guy you brought in from Bama, and he's expected to try to replace Keon Coleman. You know, he stated that Keon Coleman's the reason why he kind of came to Florida State because of the way they used him. And I think it was clear from the one or two plays that he flashed in the kind of that back shoulder sideline throw from DJ, probably the best throw of the day, or pitch and catch of the day, is that he can make those types of plays. And what was flashed at Alabama in a couple of, you know, attempts that he was, you know, he was able to make there in the limited time he got there, that he can be the guy. Now, he went off, and we don't know how serious that injury is, because as you always say, Mike Norvell doesn't tell us what these injuries mean. So that's concerning. Outside of him, though, in the receiver room, I wasn't very impressed. And that's the thing that we can also get away from these types of scrimmages, from the skill position especially, is that there was a lot of drop balls. And all spring we've been hearing is that drops have been a consistent.
Who were you disappointed in most in the wide receiver room in that game?
Just the guys that have been here the longest.
Kentron Williamson.
Early on they dropped some balls, especially Kentron. And these are things that guys shouldn't be doing in their third or fourth year in the program, right? Like the consistency, I don't care if it's a practice or it's a real game. And you can say, well, some guys aren't practice players. They're real-time players. And I know, you know, Kentron's made some big plays, but this is, you know, this is his year to show. This is his biggest opportunity at Florida State to really be a star, to really have that role in this team. But I'm telling you, if you can't catch the ball, you're not going to be on the field. Like, you know, we are at the level of Florida State now where if you cannot consistently catch the ball, you will not see the field. And I'm close to saying that if you can't catch the ball in practice, they may just go out and try to replace you, you know, because of how the portal works now. And so, I think it has to be concerning for Mike Norvell of how many drop balls there were. And it's not due to, well, DJ's on the same wavelength. It wasn't like the ball was going left and they were going right. You know, some of these were like in their ball range zone. They just
Don't have the rhythm down yet. And, the timing, these guys, you know, it's the same coaches talk. I get it. You know.
But
when a ball hits a guy in range where you should catch it.
Exactly.
Very few footballs are always going to be perfect. They're going to be contested plays. The balls are going to be out in front a little bit. They're going to be behind you. They may be a little high. They may be a little low. But the NFL caliber receivers get those balls.
Exactly. And I want to say, too,
they'll get a consistency high level of those balls.
And I want to say, too, they did also make a couple of big grabs. It wasn't like they dropped all the balls. And I do think that, you know, I want to get kudos. I thought the defensive backs for Florida State played very tight. I thought there was a lot of batted balls or guys were all over receivers. And I think that is kudos to, you know, a lot of them, you know, so you saw Kai Bates flash, you saw Zaire Thomas flash. Those defensive backs were put into islands a lot of times, you know, and that's what Adam Fuller likes to do is put guys, you know, in single coverage, you know, high. And they were all over these receivers, right? And that's what you expect. We expect this DB room to be, once again, highly talented and highly competitive and one of the best in the country. And that's also what I took away is that in these kind of one-on-one situations, they weren't giving these receivers any time to breathe. And that's where we, you know, I think these receivers are going against the best of the best in practice. And we saw that on display. And a lot of times they lost that matchup. You know, I think there was only one passing touchdown the entire showcase. And that was at the end by Michael Grant to Jacobs, I believe it was. And that was in that, you know, in that kind of even, you know, in the celebrity session, right? The you know, alumni were calling the plays.
What do we know? What do we know about Dustin Hill? Still injured? Nothing.
Huh? He had a brace on his leg, they said. But once again, that room has to be a little bit concerning to you. So if you lose Malik Benson for an extended period of time, I'm hoping it's not, you know, because I do believe if it was super serious, you would hear it. But I think if you see, you know, the portal's open for 9 more days, right? If you hear rumors that they're looking for another receiver, you know who we didn't hear about on Saturday? Hakeem Williams.
Yeah. You know,
didn't really make any plays.
He played.
But didn't make any plays. You know, and that's one of these, you would expect some of these skill position players in a game like this where it's, you know, it's more of a vanilla offense. And the defense, I do think, has an advantage in these types of scenarios because you're not playing your full playbook and stuff like that. But, you know, you expect guys like that to make a play or two. Just didn't. So, I, you know, if you – if you hear rumors about, and Florida State is over the limit of scholarships, so they're going to have to shed some of these guys. I'm not saying these guys, these receivers, but they're going to have to shed some of their roster. But are they also going to go out there and look for that more veteran receiver that they didn't go after the first time around? Do they need to get, you know, and there's not, I don't think there's going to be many available anymore because, you know, we're in the second spring period or the second transfer portal period. But there's a lot less kind of veteran talent or star talent available.
Well, a lot of the teams are coming out of their spring showcases, so to speak. So, you know, I don't know. I saw earlier, if I can find it here, that the exit door at Florida State has opened, and it's from it looks like the son of former FSU great William Floyd, great fullback, is leaving, and that's Judge Jaden.
Was he a walk-on?
I'm not sure. What you would say a high impact player for Florida State, but it looks like he has decided to enter the transfer portal. He'll have 2 years of eligibility remaining. I believe he's a defensive back.
Yeah, that's correct. And you should expect, you know, more guys like
that. Well, he's a legacy player.
Yeah.
Florida State has a number of legacy players that will never see the field.
Yeah, okay? Absolutely.
That's how that works. Absolutely. And the advice for Jaden is to go find a home at the appropriate level where you can play ball, okay?
Absolutely.
And we wish him the best of luck. But that's a lot of legacy players just don't see the field.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And and this is the time, like you said, there's going to be a lot of these guys who will now more understand where they
Peter Warwick, the great Peter Warwick's son is a defensive back on this team as well. Now he's not leaving. He hasn't announced he's leaving, but some of these kids, if they really want to play, they're not going to play on this football team. And the best mentoring, and I believe Florida State Coach Novell and staff is giving them good mentoring, that the dream won't be realized here. And really, there's other places you can go to showcase who you are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, so with that, and you may see some of that, in the, you know, and that could be, is it, you know, a couple of these receivers, you have a ton of receivers, and not all of them are going to start. And you know, could you see some attrition there? We talked about a little bit last week or earlier this week, running backs. Could you see one of those running backs go in the portal? Because I think, you know, Roy Dell Williams, you know, showed you some of that ability with what he did. You know, we talked about some of the negatives with receivers, but Roy Dell Williams, I think, showed you some of his ability of what he can do during the spring game and his ability to jump the hole and make big plays. So I think he solidified himself as, you know, your 1A, 1B running back in the replacement of Trey Benson. I was impressed with him. Now, does that, you know, and you know Cam Davis going to play, but he's going to want to compete for time.
Do you redshirt a Cam Davis? Do you redshirt him?
I don't think a guy like that in today's day and era of college football, you know, he's one of those special talents, right? Now Florida State's starting to recruit those type of players, those caliber players.
You've got to get him involved.
Exactly.
You've got to get him involved if you want to keep him.
Exactly. Because he's a high impact player, I believe. You're right. He can day one make plays for you, right? And those guys, they don't want to sit on the bench because they feel like they have the ability to play. And two, sometimes you can't afford to sit them. You know, you brought them in to play right away. And with the portal era, right? These guys can go if they, you know, they can always redshirt down the road if they get hurt, da da da. But you need to utilize guys early because you may not have them in the year. Right? You may not have them in 2 years. So if you feel like that guy can make a play for you, use him now. You know, get him off the bench. And that's where you may see like a guy like Isaiah Holmes, who may feel like he may not get this is his final year. This is his final run. Does he decide that I need to go somewhere else where I have a guaranteed 20, 30 snaps a game or, you know, at the ball, you know, running the ball, attempts at the ball, versus, you know, doing kind of like what, you know, Hill did, you know, and going to some other school. Hill, I think, is still bouncing around where he's going, but do what's his name, Trayshon Ward did and jump, you know, he went to Kansas State, I believe it was, and then now he's back over at Boston College, I think, now. But, you know, he left because, you know, he he knew where he was on the depth chart, and he didn't want to be the backup.
I don't blame them. No, I don't blame a player.
Especially when you have limited time. So I could see someone like Isaiah Holmes potentially going to the portal. Because they have to get under the number. You have to be truthful with these kids. And so, and that's another room that's loaded with talent. And I really liked what I saw from Roy Del Williams in the way he
is. Can't if, who would you use in short yardage situations, and especially at the goal line? Would you use a Williams, or would you use a Cam Davis?
Oh, from what I saw from Roy Dell, I mean, he can take contacts.
Or DJ Lundy. DJ Lundy was the short.
Yeah. Well, the thing with Lundy now is that I think the issue with Lundy is that he's your star linebacker right now, right? So you can't afford just to, you know, last year he was third or fourth. You can't afford to, you know, get Lundy hurt when he's running the ball with his head down, you know, like you could last year. So you can't use a starting linebacker as fluidly. I wouldn't want to use Lundy as a runner, because I can't afford to lose my starting linebacker anymore. So I think you would maybe Cam Davis, if you feel like he's ready to do that, and he's not going to fumble the ball as a freshman. You got to have sure hands.
But he's built like that short distance guy, isn't he?
I feel like he is, but you have to make sure those hands are good. You know, he hasn't held the football at the college level, so you have to make sure his hands are ready. I would say that, I think DJ is going to carry the ball a lot. DJ U is your short yardage. You couldn't do those things with Jordan Travis. Okay. He was just too small. DJ U is going to carry the ball in the short line scenarios.
Okay. Let's talk about this for a minute, because there's a lot of interest in DJ U running the read option. Okay. Yeah. That he's worked in that mode before. He's comfortable with that mode, and we could see a lot more of that. And with him carrying that football now and then, he's a big load. What is he, 250? That's what he's kind of listed at, like 240, 240, 250?
245, I think.
Okay. The question is, do you want to take those potential shots on your quarterback? I don't think we're going to see that as much as we will see it as more strategic situations, but not just as a general play. That would bother me, because if you lose him, you're back in the same situation you had last year, quarterbacks with no real experience besides Brock Glenn, who was forced into action and had limited results.
Yeah, I think with him, they're not going to – I think they're going to limit the amount of body blows they take on him, but they're going to utilize his strength where it really is that short yardage position. He doesn't want to be a running quarterback. I don't think Florida State wants to use him as a running quarterback.
No.
But he's kind of like that Ben Roethlisberger, but with more speed. Like you utilize the traits that your quarterback has to your advantage, right? Like this guy's not going to be arm tackled. You have to put your whole weight around his lower body to take him down. You can't arm tackle this guy. So if you have a bulldozer, you have to use him like a bulldozer when it's third and one, third and two, and use that to your advantage, or go behind the tackles and bust up the gut like the NFL does, and stuff like that. So I think they're going to use it. You know, you may see this type of read option play three or four times a game, but I don't think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be like you saw it with Jordan Travis at times. You know, even with Jordan Travis, you saw that they eased up on it a lot. You know, and fans were asking for it more. They're like, "Where's the read option? Why aren't we doing it more? Why isn't he?"
And don't you think Mike
isn't keeping it as much? Right? He didn't keep it a lot, and then of course when he did, you know, he got hurt. He didn't get hurt when he just did it, but fans were requesting. They're like, he needs to pull it some more times. But I do think, to your point, DJU is not as dynamic as a runner as Jordan Travis was, but I think he's different in that on the short yardage plays, that's where he'll shine, because if he keeps it, you're done, because he can run a guy over if he needs to. If not,
he can truck. He can definitely truck a defensive back at 180 pounds.
It changes the game. It changes the game for Florida
State.
But
you know what? The way the players now are wearing shorts, they're basically wearing short pants. You know, if they take a helmet to the knee, if they take a helmet directly to a knee, you could lose any player quickly, any of your skill players, including your quarterback. So I think Mike's going to be a little gun shy, given what happened to Jay Travis. I think he's going to be a little gun shy, that we only going to call his number when we need to. But yeah. when you do a read option, that allows the quarterback to make the decision, you know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think you saw a couple of times on the read option, he was good at he did a couple of great takes on it. And once again, I think he kept it two or three times when they called it, and then a couple of times he pulled it real late and he got 4 or 5 yards. And it's, you know, it's just about protecting yourself. Slide when you get 5 yards, and that's good. You'll take 5 yards on a pull, and you don't need to take, you know, truck a guy, hit a guy, just get down. But you just have
get
to
get down them or respect. Get out of bounds.
Yeah, you have to make them respect that pull. You know, if you do it one every 10 times, one every
I think that is going to be one of the keys to this offense, and it helps your offensive line, to be honest. Yeah. Because if you keep that defensive line guessing and those linebackers guessing whether you're going to hand the ball off to the running back or you're going to run it yourself or you're going to just pull it out and go back and throw a pass.
Absolutely.
That keeps an offense off balance.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And I think DJ will do a good job of doing that, because he has the experience of doing that. And I think just it'll take more and more they do it, the rhythm will be there. And I think he'll excel at that.
Well, let me tell you what I heard across the channels. Okay. And I'm not going to mention particular channels, but all the channels and the X comments I've seen from, quote, talking heads who do this full time for a business. Okay. They get paid every day to do this. They basically the focus was on DJU for this game, okay? I think it's immaterial. I don't put a lot into these games or the results that come out of them, okay, unless you have a really bad day. Yeah. Most of them kind of said, he had a satisfactory day. He was good. He used good judgment. He seemed to be decisive in his reads and what he wanted to do with the football.
Yeah.
Quote, good enough, quote, well done, satisfactory. He's going to be good enough to get the job done, and the read option is important for FSU. I think that's probably about right in terms of the comments, but I didn't expect he was going to go out there and light it up for 400 or 500 yards and 4 or 5 touchdowns. I mean, it's immaterial what he does in this game. It's all important what he does in the fall.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I agree with those comments on the summary of those. I think that's what you want to see. You brought DJ in to be smart, to manage the offense, and to lead the team. Essentially, in my eyes, you didn't bring him in to be the best athletic quarterback in the country. You know, if you wanted that, in my opinion, you could have went with Cam Ward, who has kind of the more athletic potential upside.
It's going to be one hell of a game.
Yeah, that'll be a great
DJU
game.
And Cam, and then DJU and Clemson. It's going to be some very interesting games. KB, let's turn to a few of these comments, see if you have any comment on these. Now, Char says, that was not a good look for Portier when he dropped that easy pass. I wonder if he might get replaced by someone else. You've talked to that already.
Yeah.
But who would be that replacement? Would it be a Hakeem Williams? Now, all of a sudden, you know, Hakeem Williams was the love child of everybody coming in, but you don't hear that much about him anymore from practice or a situation like this. What are your thoughts on that quickly?
Yeah, it's got to be – I think it's got to be internally, or either it's one of the two things. Norvell knows internally. He's seen it either internally that one of these young guys can step up and take the role. Because if Kentron's not ready now to take it, then they need to get rid of him. He needs to move on somewhere else, because – this is his final opportunity, in my eyes, to like establish himself as a star. And if Norvell, and regardless of what we saw on, you know, Saturday, that's just a glimpse of, like you said, the overall picture.
Well, here's the thing too, is how does this staff handle after a game like this? Do they start giving report cards to each player based on their spring?
Do you think they do that? Guys, we've practiced for the past month. We've had two practices a week for the past month. We had the spring.
And here's where you stand.
And this is where we see you. You know, this is where we expect you.
Okay.
This is where you progress. And this is what we need. You know, this is where we see right now. Go if you need to, if you feel like you need to go, or if you want to continue to work. But this is where you currently stand.
And some of the objective of the coaching staff doing that is to drive a few kids off the team, correct?
Yeah, you have to. You literally are above the scholarship limit. So you're going to do that.
Because you can't go into the portal without open spaces, correct?
Well, you can, because they have gone over it with it. But by the fall, you have to be under the limit.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, let's go to the next comment. Jalen Stith, because when he committed to Clemson, this is DJU out of high school, Clemson's fans thought he would be on par, if not better, than Trevor Lawrence. That's true. He was like a five-star quarterback coming out of high school, correct?
Yeah,
he was a five-star guy. He was nationally sought after by many schools.
Yeah, he was a 24/7 has a four-star, or has a five-star. I think some sites have him on a four, but he was a highly recruited recruit. And, but that's the thing. That's the unfair thing. I mean, Trevor Lawrence was a generational college player. He was like a Jameis Winston. I mean, you know, that comparison is tough. And to be fair, DJ played pretty – he led that in Clemson to win the ACC title. You know,
so did he start his first year there, DJU?
I can't remember. I mean, but like you were right. I mean,
DJ I thought was rated he did. Or maybe he 10. Sat 1 year behind Lawrence and then started. Yeah,
he was rated the number 10 overall prospect in the country. He was highly rated, but that's a lot of pressure to come behind Trevor Lawrence and do it. And I, you know, he played pretty well. But once again, they brought in the current quarterback there at Clemson, and he was supposed to do what DJ didn't do, and Clemson struggled. You know, struggled by Clemson standards. To go back to the level of national championships.
Right.
So it's you know, you're chasing the magical dragon of what you had, right? Just like Florida State's been
and let's chasing say
Jameis Winston's, you know, progress of national championships too.
You sent me the other night an interview that was conducted with DJU recently.
Yeah.
And I was very impressed with that interview. And here's what I was impressed by: his maturity. This man is well focused on what he wants to accomplish this year. And he is all in a business type atmosphere. He's very mature. He's like 23 years old.
Yep.
And he is very focused to accomplish not only team goals, but individual goals. So, and this is what I liked about him is that we have a mature quarterback that's ready to play ball and give his all. And I think that's going to benefit this football team.
Yeah. Here's the, if you guys want to check it out here, he was on Bustin' with the Boys, which is,
it was a great interview.
Yeah. It's, this one.
And the other thing that got me, if anybody wants to, you should go out and watch this interview. If you want to see a good interview, is he never said a bad word about Clemson. He never said a bad word about Dabo Swinney. He thought he was handled, everything was handled well, and that he learned a lot. And it's just his journey to leave there, to go to Oregon State, and now his journey has brought him to Florida State. So you guys can say, oh, that's all horseshit or whatever, but I think he handled this very well. He's not out there to burn bridges. He's not out there to say things that aren't right. And I think we've got a good quarterback. And I do hope I really am cheering for this guy. I hope he does well, even though he's here just a year. Let's go to another comment.
And to that point, that's also, like you said, why they brought him in. They brought that, they wanted that mature, like you're losing Jordan Travis can be, that could have been, you know, staggering for a lot of teams to lose a guy like that in your locker room. Leadership.
Right.
You know, right. A guy that's been through the fires with a team like this, built the team back up, stuff like that. So you that's why you want a guy like DJ, a guy that wants to get better, wasn't just chasing an NIL money bag, but wanted to develop into a better player, is mature. So I think
that was one of the best interviews I've seen. So I appreciate you sending that to me. Let's look at Mamo 55. As far as Hakeem goes, FSU has never really been great with a five-star wide receiver. So I'm kind of worried that Hakeem might be the next five-star bust. That's the key word, bust.
It's
hope really I'm wrong.
It's a good point. And this has been a trend with Dugans, is that when's the last time you've seen Florida State have a wide receiver drafted?
Like a Peter Warwick.
Florida State has struggled with receiver development outside of since the portal opened. Yeah. Without the portal, I think Dugans probably would have been fired.
Let's be honest,
the portal, you know, that kind of saved his position people were on his ass 3 or 4 years ago, and then you kind of got rolling a little bit with some of these additions.
But some people would argue with you, KB, except for Keon Coleman, that the Johnny Wilson thing is Johnny Wilson was an underperformer, so that you would, yeah. some people would argue, yeah. say he was a developmental case for Dugans.
That no, and that's true. So, you know, once again, it's this like inconsistency is that, you know, you like you said, you found Johnny Wilson, you kind of, you took that diamond in the rough and you did something with it. And you could say, well, Johnny Wilson's inconsistent, but you did, you know, you made him into a good player. You know, you got the best out of him. And he's going to get drafted. He should be drafted. And then Keon Coleman, you know, he was already a good player, but you recruited him. So, and now you're recruiting. Dugans is recruiting pretty well receiver wise. Five-star Hakeem Williams, and you brought in a lot of good guys this past offseason too. Why can't you? Why is this when you brought in a five-star like Hakeem? Why are we, you know, why did he make not really an impact last year? Okay, that it's a full room. Got it. This year, that let's not overjudge because this should be the year where it's an open room, right? This should be the year that Hakeem has the ability to step up. So this, I think, once again, for a lot of rooms, this is the one of the most challenging seasons for Mike Norvell. Outside of, like, you know, losing to an FCS school, I think this is the biggest year for him outside of that year of kind of when he was, you know, fans were kind of at arms with him because of where were you going to really build back up. But this transition year is so big. You lose so much talent and so many of those leaders. Can he replicate it with so many of his recruits now? So many of the new guys he's brought in. I think this transition year is so big for Mike Norvell to showcase that everything he's built, it's a system now. And that no matter who we lose, we can bring in guys to fit the system and it just keeps going. And so that's why I'm so excited to see what he's done and what will happen because these young guys need to step up or they'll just get replaced. So,
well, I think it's also very, very important that the Kentron Portier and Darian Williamson, this is it. I mean, if they're starting and getting a lot of reps, then they shouldn't be on this football team.
And they shouldn't be because this is their last shot. This is their literal last shot. So if they don't feel like they can contribute at Florida State, the coaches need to be real with them and say, you need to go somewhere else because this is your last shot. And they need to be honest with those kids. And I think they will be. I don't think Mike Norvell and these coaches play games with these guys. I think they are honest.
Well, I think it's fair to just be honest in feedback with any employee in any situation.
Yeah.
Right? This is real life now. I mean, college football is not the old college football where you hang out for 4 or 5 years. There's too much on the line. And I think you were saying it a minute ago. Mike Norvell is now one of the top paid coaches in college football. Mike Norvell is under the spotlight. Mike Norvell is making $10 million+.
Yeah.
Okay. He is king of the portal. He is expected. I heard one talking head, a respected talking head who gets a lot of viewership and subscribers. He said, well, you know, with this football team, Mike Norvell is going to win a lot of football games. And I thought, a lot of football games. It's not that is expected he's going to win a lot of football games. The question is he going to win the right football games?
Yeah.
Is he going to win the ACC title? Is he going to beat Clemson, Miami, Florida? You know, is he going to beat these teams and then get a bid for a playoff? If he doesn't accomplish that with this roster, there's going to be questions about what went wrong. So we can blame referees, we can blame injuries, we can do all of this, but solid football teams have ways to solve those problems like we did last year.
Yeah.
Okay, we did everything right. Mike Norvell made all the right moves and we didn't get to the promised land. And that's not on Mike Norvell, it's not on the Florida State.
Yeah.
That's on some other politics out there.
Yeah.
So, but there is a lot of pressure on him, and he has an experienced quarterback. Yeah. That's not going to be the issue, okay?
And that's why he needs to decide quickly in these next 9 days, does he want to match – does he have the receivers around him? Because we know he has the running backs around him, and I think he has the tight ends. We'll go into that to a second. But are these receivers, Kentron, Darion, are these guys, these, you know, former three-star recruits that haven't really shown us the ability to be on the field – to be starters, to be, you know, number ones, are these the guys he wants to put around DJ, or does he need to go out and find the right guys? Because he didn't do that the first portal route. He didn't go out and get a veteran for him. He got Malik Benson, who I think will be a great receiver. But he, you know, and that's it. This is his senior year too. So he, I think, but he showed me on Saturday he can do some things. Does he need to go find another Malik Benson or another high caliber veteran type receiver if they're available and bring them
plug in and play? Plug and play. I think he's smart enough to do that. This is a young, very energetic coach who understands the chess match, but he's going to look for the right guy. He's going to look for the right guy that's kind of the Keon Coleman, is high productivity. No sense bringing in a wide receiver who has not had high productivity over a consistent period of time. And I think he's smart enough to do that. Whether he does or not, that's going to be his chess piece to play. Now, Mamo 55 says, no reason we can't go 10-2. That's unacceptable in my eyes. Okay. And I'm not an unrealistic person. 10-2 and not winning the ACC and not getting a playoff spot. Does anybody out there listening think that's acceptable?
But you could go 10-2 and still win the ACC.
Okay. I'm not saying, I don't know that you could. I mean, you could. Is it good enough to get a playoff spot?
If you win the ACC, you're in.
So,
yeah.
So the key is to win the ACC.
Yeah, that's the key. It's to win the
ACC. 10-2 is good enough. I don't know. It depends on the games you lose to, right?
Yeah.
If you beat Clemson and you beat Miami and
you could lose to Florida in one other game. I mean,
yeah,
still get okay. to ACC.
But that is also when you lose to state rivals after matter. All the I mean, hype, it doesn't yeah. matter. It I don't mean, ever say it doesn't matter. It does matter.
Florida,
it
does matter. We still beat Miami and we still beat Florida, and they still can recruit at a high level. It doesn't matter as much as it used to. I'm telling you.
It sounds, I agree.
It's nice to say things, but at the end of the day, you can still recruit at the high level if you have the right staff.
Yeah, it would be almost tragic to lose to Florida. You know, I mean, Miami's got a new quarterback. They're excited about, you know, Cam Ward, and that is going to be one hell of a game. You know, if both teams go in pretty much full strength, but we can't have excuses anymore when we're paying this kind of money. Okay.
Yeah, let's focus okay. back on the roster in the spring.
All right.
The other group, just quickly, I want to touch on is tight end. It was good to see Landon Thomas out there getting some catches. You know, sometimes I feel like we've brought in some guys, certain positions, we don't see them on the field. You know, we talked about Hakeem Williams not really being seen on the field a lot. Landon Thomas got some catches, you know, may have been with some backup quarterbacks and stuff like that. But he looks ready. He looks physically ready to be on the field. Showed some soft hands, was able to get on the field, and I think he's going to be battling for playing time. Once again, these are one of these highly rated kids that you're able to bring in now that are going to compete for time right away, especially in a room of need. This is not a deep room. You lost Biscuit, you lost Jaheim Bell, but you lost some players now. You only bring back Kyle Morlock and Jackson West, and Jackson West has really barely played in 3 years. And it was good to see Jackson West on the field too and showcase what he has. And, you know, he made some catches, which was good. I think he dropped one ball, but he made a couple of catches. So I think Landon Thomas, if he can showcase that he's able to block, I think that will be the only thing that keeps him off the field. But if he showcases that he's able to block at a sufficient level, I expect to see him on the field. It was good to see that he was able to get on the field and make a couple of plays there. So I think mostly the other thing, offensive line, you already brought up concerns there. You know, I think that's also a result of a defensive line that played really well. And I want to give kudos to the defensive line. I thought Marvin Jones Jr. made a couple of big plays in showcasing pressure on the quarterback off the edge. I thought, once again, Patrick Payne made a couple of plays. I thought overall, and you were missing a lot of guys in the defensive line. I think Farmer was out. You had a lot of guys that were out on the defensive line, but they – once again, you have to remember, this is a really good defense. I would say a top 10, top 15 type defense. And this offense is trying to compete against them. And so it's not going to look easy. Like you said, you're not going to put up 30 points. You're not going to put up 10 touchdowns. You're playing against one of the best defense, practicing against one of the best defenses in the country.
And that helps you. That helps you.
It does, 100%. And so I think when we're kind of saying the offensive line didn't look great, they were able to hold up decently against a really good defensive line. But the defensive line did showcase that if they were able to sack the quarterback, I think DJ you would have went down 3 or 4 times minimum during that scrimmage, because they were bringing pressure and they were bringing it without a blitz. They were bringing it off the edge pretty easily sometimes.
Yeah, Shaheem got trucked by somebody. Who did he get trucked by? Was it Williams? I think it was it Williams running the ball at him, and it was one-on-one, brother, and he did get trucked. So,
I remember
Mama
that
was right.
Yeah,
Mama was right. He did get trucked.
Yeah, that was that. I remember that. Yeah, that was
Holmes. It was Keziah Holmes. It was Keziah Holmes.
That was a great
play. Keziah Holmes is a big dude. Yeah, he's a good sized guy.
And once again, you're talking about if we need a goal line guy, and that's where it's like, you know, does Keziah have that role on this team for that big? But you know, maybe we can keep his leg that way. But
let me ask you this. Do you think Marvin Jones Jr., he doesn't look anything like his old man. No, do you think bigger. Marvin Jones Jr. is big enough to hold the edge, to hold the edge on run plays? I'm not talking about rushing the quarterback. Is he big? He doesn't look physically that could be a problem. I think teams are going to run at him to try to wear him down, because he's more of a pass threat, you know, a rush the quarterback threat.
He's built like Patrick Payton. I mean, those two will rotate. If you're not concerned about Patrick Payton's on the edge, then you shouldn't be concerned about Marvin Jones Jr. I mean, those guys are built the same. Those guys are built almost exactly the same.
Yeah.
You know? And I think they'll rotate them accordingly. I don't think you can put them both on the edges at the same time. They play the same position. I think the left side. So if you were playing, if they played right and left edge, then it would be concerning to me.
Right.
That's too much. You know, they're too kind of, they're tall and lanky. I mean, they're
because I don't question their speed and their ability to put pressure on the quarterback. That's not even a question.
No.
But that's going to create real problems for left tackles in the league here.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
the question is, can they hold their own on that edge?
I think those two as a tandem on the left side of the edge is going to be great, because they'll be able to, they'll mirror each other's talent level and just be able to rotate, which I think will be good. So I don't have immediate concerns about that at all. I think it'll be a good 1-2 punch for each other. Okay. But that you did see though, when the offense had, when they had big plays, they were able to run outside. You know, they were able to a couple of times find a block and break it outside with their speed. So you saw Jalen Lucas get a couple of big runs using his speed. And that could just be Florida State does. They brought in a lot of speed, and they cultivate a lot of speed on this roster. And that was where they didn't have a ton of success running inside the tackles. I saw outside of that one big play by Roydell. But, you know, a couple of big runs were bouncing it outside, and that could be because they were able to set the edge on the offensive line by blocking some of their smaller defensive ends. I would have to look back to see who exactly got kind of, you know, stunted up there.
I don't think, I think you get limited results from a showcase scrimmage like this. I don't take away too many negatives. The drop passes, I think, is probably one of the biggest things you take away. Yep. Or did your quarterback make bad reads, make bad decisions, and that's a concern? I don't think that's a concern at all. The wide receivers, which we've already talked about, we don't need to talk about anymore. That is the concerning thing, because you could have a good quarterback, but if people downfield can't catch the football, it's going to be a problem. Okay. If you can't run the football, if your offensive line isn't opening a few holes, okay, and protecting your quarterback, I think it's all going to come to that. I think this defense is going to be pretty well, is going to do well. I think we're going to be able to blitz people, because we're going to play a lot of man on man. I think the defensive backs have the ability to do that. The question is, we're going to win a lot of football games. Are we going to win the right football games and be able to get to the championship steps?
And you just touched on my last point. I thought the defensive backs played outstanding. And they were playing a lot of young guys. And we've talked about, they brought in a lot of young talent. Once again, that's one of the best. You know, Patrick Surtain brought in, recruited very well. You saw Kai Bates play. You saw Lester play a little bit.
Yeah.
And you brought back a ton of talent. And, you know, Cypress, Azaria Thomas, Devontae Brown, the new kid from Miami, Orlo Jr., You know, Shaheem, you have a ton. Jabril Brawls now is a redshirt. Conrad Hussey, who got a lot of time last year. Yeah. You have so much talent in the defensive backfield. It's crazy. And I just showcased that last play to you. You know, like Adam Fuller tends to do and likes to do is these one-on-one plays. And guys are making a ton of deflections. And Florida State led last year in deflected passes. And plays like this were, you know, made me happy. Even though we weren't scoring points, these are the plays that Florida State, this is how Florida State is going to win games next year, is dominating defensively, just like they did last year. When they were able to, in the ACC title game, when you're down to your third-string quarterback, your defense showed up and shut down Louisville.
That's what won the game.
This is how you win championships, honestly. No matter who your quarterback is, no matter who you're down to a receiver, if your defense can do stuff like this and shut down the opponent where you're on an island, you shut down that receiver right there, that's going to win you a ton of games. And that's what impressed me, is when freshmen are doing this, true freshmen are doing things like this, that's what impresses me. And I loved seeing this. I love the way that they're coaching these kids up. And I love that we have veteran talent at this level. And I love that we have true freshmen that are getting first team reps on this. It's so exciting to see. Jaden Parrish, guys like that, it's really exciting.
You know, and to close out tonight's session, it was interesting, the shots of the stadium and how they've ripped it apart. Yeah. I mean, I get what progress is. And it upset a lot of fans, obviously, that had seats there in the west side.
Yeah,
and I know they're getting special consideration for the seats, different seats they want, but it obviously the stadium is not going to look great in 2024. It's not going to be done in 2024. Well, they're putting in temporary seats along there, and progress takes time, and there's going to be a lot of angst amongst fans. And it may cost you some more money in the end because they're reducing the capacity. So when you drop down supply and the demand is higher, that means prices go up.
Yeah.
So I know that's going to create some problems for people. And I understand it's understandable and it upsets people. But, you know, this football team, people are getting excited. The showcase brings out the excitement. And we'll be in August before you know it. And then the team will be over in Ireland to face the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. And then we're going to really find out who's going to step up on this football team and make a run at the championship. Because I think you have a lot of talent on this football team. You've got a veteran quarterback. And you've got a coaching staff that can make some right moves, and they're probably going to go pick up a couple of guys And you know, I've heard all types of the talking heads. Well, they need another defensive lineman. They may want to pick up a wide receiver, a linebacker, you know, that type of thing. I don't think there's going to be a massive influx of new talent, but there could be two or three people that have true production to be added to this football team, and we will lose some people. I think the people we're going to lose are not high production people. They're going to stay on this football team.
Before you add, you have to subtract. And so don't be, you know, can't get emotional about this stuff. You know, some guys you may like that we lose, but like you said, for the most part, I don't think it's going to be a true surprise, the guys that you lose. You know, they could be veteran guys that just, you know, weren't going to get their true shot, and they have to find that slot somewhere else. But like you said, there, you have to subtract before you add specifically as we get closer to the fall. So these next 9 days will be interesting to watch. And it'll be interesting to see too, do those injuries that we saw to Sean Murphy, Malik Benson, TJ Ferguson, you know, how do those play into what positions we're looking at
as absolutely
well. And hopefully those injuries aren't serious, you know, but we will never know really until, you know, Mike Norvell doesn't like to share that information. So you know, we'll see as those rumors come out of the portal, those will maybe give us an inclination of how those injuries are playing out. But hopefully those guys are healthy. Hopefully they can get back. You know, we don't want to see those guys injured, but that's really going to do it. So these next 9 days will be interesting. Let us know your thoughts on who Florida State should go after, if you think they should go after, or if you're like, hey, we're good to go, let us know. And give us your thoughts on what you thought about the spring showcase. Like we said, we saw some good, we saw some bad. it's always just good to watch Florida State, I think, in a situation like this. It's always good to have an open practice that you can comment on. But, yeah, we'll keep you posted. We may have a show next week at some point to break down if there's any big portal news or just update you guys. And, yeah, we'll go from there. But thank you all for joining us. Yeah, we'll keep
great to be back. It's yes. Great to be back.
Thanks for joining us, y'all. Have a great week next week, and we will speak with you soon. Take care. Have a great rest of your day. And as always, go Noles.
Go Noles. Go Noles.